David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have Igor Weinstein here, and he is an amazing person. He is in business, and today he'd like to talk about how to create the perfect business for yourself and how to create the perfect life for yourself. So he's going to go into depth about a lot of different topics and a lot of different things to help you improve your overall life and your business. And we're going to just give it away to Igor, because Igor, you are just an amazing person. I'm so excited to have you on the show. And tell everybody about yourself and what you do.
Thanks, Lacey. Thanks for having me. And yeah, perfect is a bit of a big word, so we'll see how far we get there.
All right.
I'm an entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur. I've been in business. I probably started my first business when about 16 or 17, a long time ago. And, you know, recently I sold my company. I've got other startups. Been doing a lot of very different things. I've done business in both tech. My background's technology, so consulting, big enterprise level projects. But I've also had, you know, I had an exotic car rental business. I've had indoor golf centers. And my last one that I sold was an e-commerce golf company where I manufactured golf simulators. And I've got an app that was released commercially earlier this year. And so that's growing a lot. That's a startup that's 7 years in the making. So it's a startup, but it feels like a startup, but it's been around for so long. It's kind of weird calling it a startup, you know? You can probably tell by my accent, although I live in Texas, I'm not a native Texan. I'm still working on my Texas twang. I was born in former Soviet Union, migrated to Australia when I was 10, and moved to Dallas a couple of years ago, to expand my company, to the US, and then I opened an office in Europe as well. And that's, I sold it, a year ago.
Wow.
That's really about me. Just a little bit there.
So, you know, when it comes to creating the business for yourself, you know, many people struggle with trying to create a business from scratch. And it's very hard, especially after COVID. A lot of businesses had plummeted. People were trying to figure out, you know, businesses went down. What am I going to do? You know, how do I move forward in life? And, you know, it was very hard for a lot of people. Even now, you know, people, you know, either they're getting tired of the business they're in, or they just, you know, they're not doing well and they feel it's time to move on. And, you know, it's very hard for people to create a business, you know, from scratch and to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, what should they focus on. There's so many things. Now, from your own business experience and your own perspective, you know, how do people really start to build a platform that's going to be a successful platform to help them build the business that they want so they could have the life they want?
Sure. It's a good question. And you're right. A lot of people struggle through COVID. And there are a lot of people that had completely opposite effect. And I'm actually the lucky one. I'm one of those. You know, my business grew 600% during COVID because people, I mean, back in Australia, Melbourne, where I was living at the time, you know, golf was banned, fishing was banned, you know, it was dangerous for the fish.
Yeah.
And so indoor golf simulation, you know, boomed, but it wasn't just that. I have a friend actually in Australia, he started up, just very lucky. A year before COVID, he started then like a Internet of Things IoT business where he would install sensors in like pipe, you know, gas pipelines, oil, etc., mining. When COVID hit, people couldn't travel to all these remote sites. So his business went from like 1 million revenue to I think 40 million revenue in 2 years.
Wow.
That's probably that's an extreme example, but the main thing it shows is that if you have a business or if you're trying to start a business, and I'll probably say it more so to if he's trying to start a business. A lot of people start a business because of something they like, or, you know, a lot of people start a business with a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah.
I've heard that phrase used, and that's probably really accurate. You really need to find a problem that needs a solution. And so even in the in like right now, the economy is sort of not that great. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of trouble in the world. There's a lot of trouble in the economy. There's a lot of, you know, tightening of the belts. So yes, that's a problem for a lot of businesses, but it's also an opportunity. If you can find a solution to, hey, you know, people still want to have, you know, X, but they can't afford it. So there's a great opportunity. Well, how can you deliver X at a cheaper cost? And if you find that solution, that's how you can build a business. And you know, there's a great book called The Trick to Money is Having Some. I think I can't remember off the top of my head now the author's name, but I remember the book. I love the book. But he says, you know, to build a successful business or a career, all you have to do is really find a problem worth solving, find people that will pay for that problem to be solved. And the bigger the problem, the more the people, the more you get paid. It's like a simple mathematical formula. So does that make sense?
That does make sense. Yeah. I think a lot of people don't look at it like that. A lot of people are looking for the problem and then the solution, you know, and they're trying to figure out what's the, you know, what's the biggest problem that people are going through. And it's hard sometimes to pinpoint, and it's hard, you know, and I think you have to also look at the audiences. And isn't it important to look at the audience and then also look at where the money is? You know, they say, you know, some people say, well, if people really want something, they'll find the money. And then some people are like, well, focus on the audience that actually has the money. You know, what's your, when you have a business, you know, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I don't think people will find the money. I think that's maybe that existed in certain places, and it certainly exists with certain products, like really high luxury, you know, celebrity. Some celebrity products. There are some that have failed. There's plenty, actually. I was reading a report recently about all these celebrities that started up, you know, brands with their name attached to it, and they failed. You know, they were sold at auction for, you know, pennies in the dollar, because they didn't really solve a, you know, a problem, and people were not willing to pay, you know, 8 times more for a hair conditioner because it was in, you know, endorsed or it had the name of some celebrity. So I think you're right. You do want to find the right audience, and the other thing is you want to ask your audience the right question, which is not, do you like my idea? Which is so many people do that, and I used to do that as well. You know, you want to ask the question of how much are you going to pay for this? Like, how much is this worth to you? And if they say, well, you know what, you know, it's worth $10 to me, right? Let's say you have a widget, right? And it's worth $10. Well, if you know that it costs you know, $12 or even like $8 to make the widget, you don't have a business. It's just not viable. And so you have to stop yourself and go find a different problem to solve. Or you find a way to make it for $2 so that you have enough margin to sell it for 10. And so that's a great qualifying question of how much is this problem worth to you?
Do you feel like sometimes it's better to find a business that's really thriving and then get into that business, even though, you know, both find something that doesn't have high competition, might have medium or low competition, and get yourself into that area?
I think if you truly look at a business or an idea from the point of view of what problem am I solving, I think you'd struggle to get into businesses that are very competitive, because simply like is it really a problem? You know, or are there already 100 companies that have already solved the problem and you're just going to be one of the noisy ones, you know, or whatever? And you know, I don't think that's a viable option. There are plenty of businesses. I have a friend in Australia who buys, and he says he finds the most unsexy businesses he can think of, and he goes, he's acquired two or three businesses like that, and they're extremely profitable, but they're just something you wouldn't even think about. Like I think one of them, there's actually an Australian movie called Kenny. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it's great. It's similar, very. I think it's maybe even made by the same people that made my Big Fat Greek Wedding. But it's about this guy that rents toilets at events, you know, and you know, I think my friend has a business like that, and you know, it doesn't sound very sexy at all, but it's an extremely profitable business. He has a great life, and it makes a, you know, makes crazy money from it. So it because it solves a problem, because not many people want to go and solve the problem of having toilets, you know, at you know, those portable toilets, you know, at events and stuff. So it's examples like that kind of you scratch your head and go, it's not really, you know, it's not like having a dot-com startup and, you know, building the next Google or OpenAI, but it allows you to have an amazing life. So you got to kind of ask yourself, what are you really, you know, what are you really looking for?
Definitely. I've seen so many people like go into the vitamin business, and I'm like, you know what? It's so hard. And I would like, I would like, you know, kind of I can't tell the person what to do, but I wouldn't advise it, because it's like, it's a very hard business to get into, and there's so much competition, and there's so many things, when it comes to studies and research and this and that, and it's like, why take the chance of being a pea in the pod when you can try to find something that you could actually be the diamond and shine,
Absolutely. And again, it just comes down to, is there really a problem in the market where, we're missing choice when it comes to vitamins? And, do you have the money to compete with someone like, AG1 or some of these bigger brands that have, Joe Rogan is an investor, and obviously, and others, and have.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Huge marketing budgets. How are you going to compete against that?
Exactly. So, when it came to your own success, what were some of the things that you did to help you grow and get to the point where you are today?
Good question. So probably with the late, I'll start with the latest business. We can work backwards if, we
Okay,
kind of
that's good.
get there. But the current business was, when I got into golf simulation, I actually got into by accident. Like there's been like a lot of like accidental things that happened. But there's a whole philosophy behind that. We are presented with opportunities daily. The question is, are your eyes open to the opportunities? Are your eyes, are you seeing them? Are you truly ready to, jump on them when they're there? So initially I used to own indoor golf centers, and I got into that because I was working in tech, and my very good friend was a pretty good golfer, and he was getting lessons. He kind of said, "Why don't you come get lessons with me? Because I sucked. I played like once a year." And I did, and we ended up buying that business, and then moving it into downtown and built this indoor center in the building where I was actually working at the time. And so, that was like a sliding doors kind of moment. And then I opened another business of this sort, which was called 24/7 Golf, which is like those 24-hour gyms. You could go in unmanned, there was no staff. So you could go in and practice golf 24 hours a day. And my first center, we did really well. My second one didn't do so well. And one of the things I struggled with is, I would charge like $13, $15 a week membership, right? And you'd come in, it'd be unlimited. You'd come practice as much as you want. But people really didn't want to learn how to use the damn device.
No.
So I'd get so many support calls. And then my second venue went out of business, and I lost $100,000 on that, and I was pretty devastated. And
Yeah.
that doesn't even come close to how much I've lost in my business career. We can come back to that. But the problem was, and the problem I had to get sell all this equipment that I bought, right? So I sold it on Facebook Marketplace, I remember. And a couple of weeks went by, and I noticed that no one was calling me with support issues, because they spent like $3,000 or $4,000 to buy this.
Yeah.
And I went, wait a second, this is way easier. So I got a few more, I sold those, and off it went. And I'm like, this is so much easier than having an indoor, like a services venue.
Yeah,
So I
yeah.
closed down the other one, and I just pivoted completely to e-commerce. And then I learned that, again, it was a golf simulator used to cost $20,000, $30,000, and the price
Right.
started to come down. And at the time, you couldn't get anything in Australia, like the kind of the main equipment you need to play. You had to
Yeah.
import it from the US or from somewhere else. It was very expensive. So I started
Right.
manufacturing it, in China, and bringing it to Australia myself at a much cheaper price. And that's that concept I was telling you about. It's like there was a
Right.
problem to solve, which is people wanted this, but they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So I brought it in for a cheaper price, and then I found that I could manufacture cheaper than companies in America.
Right.
And so then I expanded to America, which is the biggest golf market. And I solved the problem there as well, even though I was there's competition, but I could come in and I could undercut by 30, 40, 50% anyone else in the market. And so it
Wow.
allowed me to grow there. So there's a couple of principles from what we talked about that kind of helped me succeed. But it was lucky because, if that business hadn't gone out of business, maybe I wouldn't have pivoted to e-commerce, and
Right.
who knows where I've been now.
Exactly. And I think people have to realize too that, people go through a lot of failures before they succeed. Alex Hormozi, I think he was in the fitness world, and I think he had like seven businesses in a row like that failed on him, until he actually figured it out and he was able to figure a way to use his talents. And he ended up, teaching others how to go. He went into their businesses and he taught them, how to figure out, how to have a successful business. And he is where he is today. But a lot of people, you have to you learn from your failures. You shouldn't give up, and I think a lot of people
Yeah,
do.
absolutely. You're right, and it also depends what environment you're in. And a good example was Australia is very different to America in how people approach entrepreneurs and approach failure. I've lost millions. I've had biggest blow-ups. I've never been bankrupt. I tell people I've always paid my debts, like the Lannisters, but I've been through some extremely hard times, and a lot of my sort of rescues have been from my parents. So, I thank them, as much as I can for being there for me. In Australia, when you fail and you fail big, you have a lot of people generally kind of say, haha, we told you, it's a dumb idea. That happens a little bit. And there's a thing called the tall poppy syndrome there. But here in the States, people celebrate it. And I think that's really special. And I think it's quite unique to America. I think it's not unique to Australia that, people kind of have that attitude. I think it's a lot of the world is like this. I just think America is so different where people just celebrate. And in fact, when you tell people that you failed, lost millions of dollars and you're back and you've sold a company or whatever, like the amount of respect they give you is truly remarkable. And I think that's what makes this country so great for entrepreneurs. So I think if your listeners are in the States, I think it's a really amazing environment to be in, and everyone should embrace it and celebrate it.
I agree with you. I think it's really good that people could be supportive when, the concept is, if you tried, you didn't fail, and move on, and that's a nice concept because many people, depending on where you are, look at failure as, they really, you could damper someone's self-esteem and really, kill someone's ego just by, the way you talk to them after something so traumatic has happened, and that's that, at that point, you're so vulnerable, so when people, attack you in a negative way, that could destroy you. That could destroy you and cause you not to even want to try again. So,
Very true, and that actually kind of segues into a really important point that I'd love to share, which is that the failures make your skin thicker. Every time you fail, your skin gets a little bit thicker and thicker and thicker. And by the time you get to my old age, I don't know, 10 failures, 15, I don't know, I can't remember how many, plenty. You kind of don't care anymore. You're like, eh, it's just normal. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't have these experiences that taught me so many things. And I have people reach out to me, and there's actually this great company that just this week asked me to be, an advisor for them, because I have experienced so many failures and I've learned all these ways of how not to do things. And if you are ever in business, I had a mentor that once said to me, because I was using Atlassian, which is a great Australian startup worth billions and billions. I kind of was, comparing myself to them, and he said to me, he said, never compare yourself to those. They are complete outliers. There's nothing you can learn from outliers like this. What you need to learn is from people who've actually iteratively failed their way to the top, because they actually know what not to do. And I think that's really important. Like that's what you almost have to embrace finding new ways of finding out how not to do things, which is, the Thomas Edison example with the light bulb, right? That found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb, and that's how you get there.
And that's a great point. People have to realize that, when you learn each time you fail and then you don't make it, your skin does grow thicker and you learn from it. And that's the point is to learn from it. It's when people keep making the repetitive mistakes over and over and over again. But if you're smart, You're going to actually look at what you did and look at what, mistakes you made. That way you can avoid it next time. And it might even, throw some light bulbs out itself and make you realize, hey, what if I did it this way, this could have happened and da, 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 and then you could approach either that business or something else, but using different strategies, that are more successful.
Exactly. And you also need to learn from other people's mistakes. And I think that's one thing I did quite well. Sort of looking back at the last 25 years of my career, I devoured books of business biographies. I remember reading The Guy That Started, well, this probably don't, no one even remembers this, but Front Page, which was the very first, web editing tool that Microsoft acquired. I remember Boohoo.com, which was, raised 450 million in venture capital and failed, in a massive way. My favorite book, though, I'll tell you, in terms of business biography, is Shoe Dog from the guy that started Nike. I
Oh,
think there's a
really?
doc. I think there's a Netflix movie about him as well. But that book, it was amazing because he really got into detail of, just the hitting rock bottom. I think most people don't realize there's too many books out there, too many stories that talk about, how it was just a smooth ride up. It's never like that. And not enough people, I feel, go into the, their rock bottom stories. But there's so many podcasts, there's so many documentaries now that there's so many lessons you can learn just by, getting yourself surrounded by the right people, digitally. They're not real people, but they're real stories. And I think that's pivotal.
I think it's really important to be around high achievers also. I think sometimes we, people tend to surround themselves with people that aren't go-getters, and if you're around people who are not go-getters, a lot of times their energy will rub off you. But if you're around go-getters and you're around that type of atmosphere, I think it helps pump you up as a person too, and also you could learn from each other too. So if you have people that are in the business field and they're entrepreneurs and they're actually, achieving, and elevating to the next levels, you could learn from them. I was always open-minded, and I never thought that I knew everything because I didn't, So when people, around me were doing much better, I always look to see, okay, what are they doing that I'm not doing, And I always ask myself that question. Did you do anything similar to that?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
I did. I joke to my, I have a team, I have multiple teams, but I've hired dozens and dozens, hundreds of people at times, and I always have the same sort of like pep talk with my senior leaders, and I tell them, said, "Listen, I'm really lazy. Okay, so I prefer to play golf than work, and so what I do is like I'm gonna hire you because I think you're really smart and you're really capable, way smarter than me, way more capable than me." I said, "Your job is to help me play as much golf as possible," and which is it's funny, and we all have a good laugh, but it's actually true because I hire great people and I get the hell out of their way. Because they go and achieve great things, and I would, this is critical for any entrepreneur. If you're going to hire people that hire the smartest people you can afford, because they are the ones who are going to scale your business and grow your business, not you personally. I'm a good visionary. I set the vision. I know where to go. I call it. I see where the puck is going to be. Which is the Wayne Gretzky reference. I see customer problems before even customers know. Kind of that's what I feel is my superpower. But getting there, that's actually this amazing team that I have working with me. You talk about surrounding yourself. So whether it's socially in your work, you're hiring people, but also if you like, let's say you're an employee, you're looking for a new opportunity. Don't just get interviewed. Interview the people you're about to go work with. Make sure that they are high performing. Make sure they will allow you to be your best and get out of your way and be there to help you break through walls when you get there. As a manager, I often tell my teams, my job is to break down walls for you. So when you hit a wall, you come tell me, But like, don't get me involved in silly meetings just to, waste everyone's time. So just,
Yeah.
you know what you're doing. You have, that's why I hired you.
Right. Exactly. And you do need a team. You know, there are people that I know that try to do everything themselves, and it's just not possible. You can't grow. You'll stay stagnant. You'll either won't succeed or you'll just be plateaued and you'll stay stagnant. And, there's so many people, well, I can't afford somebody. Well, you can figure a way because, if you spend money, you'll make money, and I think that's a motto that, when people are, they're like, oh, afraid to spend the money. But I think when you do have a team, it makes a difference. How do you feel?
Yeah, I totally. And I've often I tried both ways, and I tried sort of starting everything from scratch, and then doing the work myself and kind of hiring someone. And I've also done sort of just stretching myself, and I was able to stretch myself. And this is actually quite common in the world now. Is you have, let's say you have a full-time job, and you start a side gig, so you think to yourself, okay, I'm earning say $50 an hour here. Can I hire someone for $35 an hour to do this job? There's so many sites, Upwork and all these guys, the freelancer.com and all that. Like, can I get someone to do the work here, so I can keep earning this money? And you arbitrage, like you're making more than you could pay someone. So why don't you just keep working here while someone helps you build? Because if you get that, and then that person becomes more break even, let's say, then you can afford to hire a second person that will again just help you grow. So you got to ask yourself, how can I make this happen? What's the pathway? Like, if you straight away go to, I can't afford it, you're just not going to get it anywhere. And you got to be smart with money, and it's not my superpower, but then you're going to get, my wife is much better at it than me, so she helps me out, keeps me honest. And but it's really about how do you find a way somehow, and there's just so many ways. There's always a way. There's always a way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it's really important that you have people around you to help you. I think that's the best way and the only way to grow. I feel like, and to have people that are behind you that can help you and guide you. Sometimes we think we're in the box and it's hard to really see what we're doing and what we're not doing right. But then if you have somebody that's working with you, even a business coach or somebody guiding you along the way that says, that can see, where the mistakes are being made and maybe put you on the right track, that could be beneficial, I think, too. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. Just make sure that the business coach has actually done it. I've had business coaches before that have been utter disasters, and I've also had some that have been mentors and coaches that have been amazing. I still have some, I have them now. It's just I got really much better at selecting the right ones, and it's and it's often that conversation like this where you try to really learn about what have they actually done, because there's too many people out there, unfortunately, that when you can't do, you teach, and sometimes they're really good at kind of selling you the ideas that they have, but if you've never executed those ideas, then they're just ideas. You can find them in a book.
That's very true. That's so true.
Actually, I remember there's only one. I remember through my I went to 3 years college. I have a bachelor's degree, right? Information systems, Melbourne University, very prestigious, university, yada yada. And I don't remember anything from my 3 years there, like nothing, except the very first lecture of one subject in my first year called project management. And I remember the very first phrase that the lecturer said to me to this day. It was 20 over 20 years ago, and he said, "Project management is like sex. There's only so much you can learn from a book." And I think that applies to like entrepreneurship. It applies to business and stuff, hiring team. Like, you just there's only so much you can learn from a book. You really have to just get out there and do it, and f fail fast. I'm sure you've heard that concept before. Fail fast, move on. Just experiment away. You will learn so much from failing. You generally learn more from failing than from succeeding.
I agree. I agree 100%. And it's funny because, like, I think they say we remember maybe not even 15% of what we learn in college. It's all about experiencing in the big world and actually, putting your, diving right into the mud and just like, figuring out, which way to go and how to climb out and, and just learning, and that's where you get it through the experience, Because you learn the basics in school. You learn, but it's nothing near real life. It's like when you come out of school and you go into the real world, it's a million times different. And you really got to catch on real quick. In order to succeed.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone to, if they're in college, if you have any listening to college, start a side hustle. Learn, the school of hard knocks is the best school out there. So, go and try things and, and if you fail, great, learn from it. By the time you finish, when I finished college, I worked full, that's why I don't remember anything because I hardly turned up because I had a business and then I had a job at a dot-com all through, I had full time at college and I had a full time job. And
That's hard.
but when I finished college, I went and applied for like big corporate jobs, as you're supposed to. I wish I did. Well, many ways I wish I didn't, but that's a longer conversation. But the salary I got my first year out of college was $70,000 a year. I was 20. I was 20 years old, right? And this is 23 years ago. And all my peers that went through like a standard path, the highest they had was like 37. So I doubled what they were because of the 3 years that I put in hustling through college, so even if you continue with a corporate job, like you can go so much further
Experience.
by learning these lessons by experience. Because when you're in an interview, and I know we were talking about entrepreneurship, but it applies equally to, if you're in a job interview, you can tell stories about what you've done, and those stories is what's going to impress the person on the other side. They're going to go, you know what? You've done so many different things that I believe you can figure out. If you get this job, and there's something you don't know how to do, that I believe that you can work it out.
100%, 100%. Now, if you had to take what everything we've talked about and break it into a synopsis, what are some of the takeaways? What are some things you important things you'd like to emphasize for our listeners to help them?
I think the quality of the questions you ask is going to determine the quality of the outcomes you have. And it sounds cliche, and maybe a little bit overused, but it's truly that important to ask the right questions. So, always ask, how can I solve this problem? Not this is impossible, or how can I make this affordable? How can I, what is this worth to you? So if you're not kind of getting the results, if you in your life and you're not getting the results you want, whether it's business, job, personal life, relationships, anything, I think you have to ask the questions, what, how can I ask better questions? Where do I go and find better questions? Even that question itself is so much better, than just, being, stuck in in a rut. It's like, go and find the right questions to ask, go better questions to ask. So that would be that one thing. And second is, thicken up your skin. Life's tough. Life is very tough right now, but it's still better than it was 50 years ago for, 99% of this of the people on this planet. And there's so many, I listen to a lot of podcasts. There's so many people talking about there's this anxious generation now. There's, people are experiencing so much mental health trouble, and so I can understand that, but it's up to us individually to become more resilient. So be resilient, never give up. If you truly want something, don't give up. Be resilient.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Those are great points. Now, you came out with two books, so tell us about the books. I want to hear about them.
Yeah, that's an interesting long story. But so one of the books I wrote back in 2007, and I kind of never published it. It was on my shelf, and finally, I don't know why. It was to do with manifestation. If you remember The Secret when that came out, and I was a bit like, it made me a little bit mad. I'm like, yeah, I love the principles, but I also thought, if you sit on a couch with a toy steering wheel, that's not going to end up. That's not going to deliver a your dream car to your driveway. It's just not going to happen. I hate to break it to all these people that thought it did. So I sat down, I remember one Christmas, and I just wrote out this book that ended up, and I call it Practical Manifestation, which is basically how would a project, because I was an IT project manager, how would a project manager ta tackle this? And so that's, so that's going to come out very soon on Amazon and all of that. But, and then last year I started writing some thoughts around, I had this idea, which was, I've always been fascinated with this whole concept of manifestation, right? Like people want, vision boards. I'm a huge fan of Tony Robbins and Richard Bandler and a lot of the speakers like that. And people put vision boards, and they kind of go down this path of, positive thinking and, mantras and, all these things that sort of this sort of self-help kind of area talks a lot about, right? Which is fine. But then there's this, if you look at the greatest companies, like I love SpaceX, right? One of my favorite companies in the world, Elon Musk, SpaceX. And I'm like, people said it's impossible to land a rocket back on Earth, right? And he's done it. And I'm saying, well, did he, he had a vision board and did he say mantras? I'm pretty sure he didn't. There's a different path to how the greatest companies on this planet achieve really amazing things. And so I took my experience of, in delivering projects, in building businesses and building, systems and processes in the corporate world, in the entrepreneurial world, and taking and kind of merging those two concepts together. And so I called it agile manifestation, using kind of agile principles, project management principles to achieve anything you want, because that's, I feel like that's kind of what I've done in my life, and so those are the two. So the second book will come out later this year. The first one will be next few months. So that's a whole new experience for me. And now that I've sort of, maybe I had a little bit of, imposter syndrome before as well, that, until I kind of achieved the things I wanted to, I wasn't ready to kind of share my story with the world. And now I feel it's the right time.
That's awesome. Now, you even talked about, you were mentioning to me before the show, you're creating a board game. So tell us a little about that board game. I want to hear about it.
Again, this is one of those, one of those random things that happened 15 years ago, 2008, I wrote it. I was a huge fan of Robert Kiyosaki's, Cashflow 101.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know that one or if your listeners do. I used to play it in my early 20s and I was a big fan. And I felt like, as I kind of was in my entrepreneurial career, I felt that there was all these experiences I could package it up and make a board game out of it. So I wrote it 15 years ago and then I put it on the shelf and did nothing with it. And then last year, having sold the company again, just this imposter syndrome that I kind of got over. And also my career has changed. I've done so many things happened to me 50 years, so many more failures happened in the 15 years. And I thought, I'd love to kind of dust it off. And I started talking to people about it. And I'm a member of this organizational entrepreneur organization here in Dallas, and I spoke to them about it, and everyone got very excited. And so my idea was to publish this board game. So it's coming out hopefully next month. And it really is, to me, it's like that, it's the School of Hard Knocks, but in a board game. It's going to teach you what it's like to get punched in the face on a daily basis as an entrepreneur, which is what we have to learn how to take.
Yeah.
This is more like a give back and, hoping people give it to, kids. But it's for kids, for adults, for anyone who's wants an entrepreneur kind of journey, wants to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And the feedback I've had so far in the play testing has been really interesting. There's a lot of people who thought entrepreneurship was this. They play it and they're like, well, we experienced this. Is that what you meant? I'm like, exactly right. What you think, you have this like, rose-colored image of what entrepreneurship is like.
It's
all this collaboration and this like this cool stuff you're doing and brainstorming and big whiteboards but it's actually like this grind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's the grind. It's this. This is in the movies. This is reality.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. That is amazing.
Thank you. And I called it, wait, you're gonna love the name. I called it Entrepreneurpoly. So entrepreneurpoly.com, I think is the URL. So I haven't put up a website yet, but it'll be there.
Oh, it'll that's there. Awesome. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, where can people find you?
So look, I'm active on LinkedIn. I also have a website, igorweinstein.com. My handle on Twitter, X.com is the Igor. I've had it since 2008. I haven't used it for like 14 years. So I'm kind of getting back into it. I got my blue check mark. So I'm kind of getting back into it as well. So, but LinkedIn is probably one of the best ways. I'm quite active on there.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my God. This has been amazing. I hope, I welcome you back on the show. I'd love to have you back on the show. You have a lot of great insights and you really open people up to really what entrepreneurship is really like. And there's so many things that, you can tap into because, a lot of people don't realize how hard it is, but they don't realize, there's a lot of solutions out there. If you focus on the solution and not the problem. And you really focus on, you know, how to really construct things a little bit differently. And you learn from your failures, and you don't dwell on them, but you learn from them and move on. You know, a lot of great things could happen because it makes you stronger, like you said, and it makes you more knowledgeable. And, you know, having resilience and having knowledge and having experience, it can make you a superstar, you know, and as long as you use it in the right way, you could go far, and you can be successful, and everybody's dream can become their reality. It's just really focusing and creating that plan, learning from your mistakes, you know, being strong and having your experience and putting it to action, you know, that call to action, it goes a long way. Well, you know, Igor, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed you.
Thank you for having me, Stacey. And anytime, come back anytime. I'm sure we have lots of topics we can unpack further.
Oh, definitely, definitely. All right, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you.